Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Alexa, play 95.7 ESPN.
Playing ESPN Rochester on radio.com.
Welcome back. The Sports Bar, Danger and Battaglia, AM 950, 95.7 FM, ESPN Rochester on the radio.com app, preparing you for Sunday afternoon. Buffalo Bills hosting the Washington Redskins. And to learn more about the Bills' opponent on Sunday, we bring in ESPN NFL Nation reporter at ESPN.com, John Keim. Good with his time. How are you, John?
I'm doing well. How are you?
John, appreciate your time today. Should we believe all these stories that we're hearing that Dwayne Haskins just really isn't ready for this moment, that he would have been better served with more time here, perhaps? Your thoughts on Haskins entering this game?
Well, I'll say this. Let's look at their actions. They were 1-7 and have two quarterbacks who won't be on their who may not be on their roster next year, and yet they weren't going to start him until Case Keenum was ruled out with the concussion. So I think that's kind of what you need to know. Now, where he goes from here, who knows? But yes, there has been a reluctance. There's been a desire to have him sit more. And I went before the season. I talked to some people in the organization who their preference was for him to sit all year. It's going to be hard to do. It was going to be hard to do that because of the record. But again, their actions, had Keenum been healthy, Dwayne Haskins would not be starting.
John, take us with a little bit of a peek behind the curtain there on draft night, because the word on the street is that this wasn't a guy that they wanted. I think it's pretty well known that this wasn't a guy that the coaching staff at the time wanted to draft in the first round, and maybe you guys settled or compromised by also taking Sweat in the first round as well. How did draft night work out to where Haskins ended up being the supposed quarterback of the future for this franchise?
Well, the owner, the top two people in the organization wanted him. That's the owner, who doesn't scout, but his kid went to the same high school as Dwayne Haskins. Haskins, a local guy. Now, they were not in high school together. They're several years, you know, more than a few years apart, but there's a connection there. Bruce Allen, the team president, I talked to people back in like late January, early February, who were telling me that he was one of the guys that Allen wanted. So it wasn't a shock that they ended up with them, but yes, the football staff, the football side, did not want to go there at 15. Keep in mind that with Jay Gruden especially, it's a staff that needed to win now. And they knew that Haskins would take a while. So for the organization, in the long run, maybe it's better. But for the short term, you know, you talk about long term, you know, with people at the top and short term with people on the field. And, you know, they needed to win. They wanted a guy who could help them win right now. And so that's why there was a tug of war or a disagreement with it. And, you know, getting Montez Sweat kind helped. I mean, he hasn't had the impact as a pass rusher they would like, but he's a guy that I think some people probably would have been okay with taking at 15. So for them to trade back in the first round, get him at 26, then at least you could have a first-round pick, a young first-round pick, or young guy playing right away. So it was definitely, I think if it was up to the football side, they'd have gone in a different direction at 15, but they definitely would have gone in a different direction.
John Keim, ESPN.com reporter covering the Washington Redskins, our guest here in the Sports Bar. John, can you give us some insight? Because it certainly seems from where we sit that the Redskin management is being very stubborn when it comes to Trent Williams. So your thoughts on the news the last 24 hours in regards to left tackle, the disclosure that he had a form of cancer, and where might this be headed now? Such a good question, Danger. He's got to think about it here.
John, are you there?
Here we go.
I lost the second part of your question, but as far as the Trent Williams situation / saga, it's going to be hard for me to cover this in a quick soundbite, so give me a minute here. But there are, like, clearly, Williams, one of the things that jumped out, he said he doesn't have trust in the organization anymore. He felt that they were vindictive in the way they handled his situation before the trade deadline, clearly upset with the medical staff, and that's a vague term because it's medical staff for teams are kind of large, and there's various departments. There's trainers, there's doctors, there's orthopedists, whatever. So, but he's certainly upset with them. Felt like his situation wasn't handled with the delicacy or the urgency that he would have liked. He had a growth on his scalp that was first diagnosed 6 years ago, and he said it was no big deal. He said that they told him it was no big deal, didn't have to have it removed. And you move ahead to this year, he went and got it checked again. I don't know. I know it had been monitored every year. And according to people in the organization, I talked to them about this months ago. But he went in this offseason to get another biopsy, and they told him, you've got to go in. Or you got it checked out again. They told him, you better go in now. So he went and eventually had the surgery. He said that it was, you know, weeks away from metastasizing onto the skull, onto the brain. So, you know, the doctors had told him beforehand, get your affairs in order, because they didn't know. That's where that was at. But just as a follow-up to that, the Redskins, after all this stuff came out, released their own statement basically asking for a third-party, that they are asking for a third-party review of the medical situation, how it was handled. And they're doing that because they feel pretty confident on their end that there were some inconsistencies on what Williams said. So I think, you know, that story remains to be seen with who really erred here or who really should look, I would say should look bad, but where the truth maybe lies in the whole situation.
It is a fascinating storyline, John. And when that statement came out last night, I couldn't help but think, all right, the Redskins, they can hide behind HIPAA laws here, but them releasing the statement the same day that he accuses them of misdiagnosing him of a form of cancer. Yeah, they have to feel pretty confident in their medical staff and their diagnosis of Williams that entire time.
Absolutely, and I think they do. And just in talking to people over the months about it, I would say that there are some things that he said that's like, well, that doesn't mesh with what I had heard before. And, you know how these things work. A lot of times people try to spin it or whatever. They try to, you know, massage it to their advantage or whatever it is. But in this situation, there would be documentation. Like, did you have a doctor's appointment this day, and did Trent Williams keep it? What was going on a couple of years ago? I know there were things that a few years ago they recommended to do, and they weren't up on. Things like that, that will probably be in that third-party review. And then it's a matter of, okay, did you still handle it right? And regardless of how it comes out, though, from Trent Williams' perspective, the trust is broken. So, in the end, the Redskins may, quote-unquote, win that battle, so to speak, but they're not going to be able to keep Williams. I just don't see how he continues to play here.
Well, so why be – give us some insight as to why the front office here is so stubborn when it comes to fielding offers. I'd have to imagine there were some good offers that were on the table last Tuesday. How surprised are you that – well, it wasn't just Williams again, though. The Redskins stood pat overall.
Yeah, well, stupid overall. They didn't have a whole lot of stuff that was attractive to other teams. I mean, Josh Norman was one guy they were shopping, and there were no takers. As far as Williams goes, I'm not surprised by the deadline that nobody was going to give him a first because there's so many questions with him. You know, what kind of health, what kind of shape is he in? He hasn't played since December. So it's like a lot of these other guys getting traded, they're playing now. You're in football shape. You don't know what you're getting from Williams. You know, when is he going to be back into quote-unquote football shape? He usually stays in good shape, but it still was going to take him a few weeks. And then the other factor was he was going to want more money, at least, you know, what I was told, that he would have wanted more. You know, he even told us that he wanted more guaranteed money from the Redskins. Had he gotten that, I think he definitely would have reported earlier. So it was about the contract, too. But I think that also, my understanding is that at least scared off some teams. I'd heard the Patriots would have been interested early in the year, but then when they found that out, they didn't want to pursue it anymore. I know Cleveland obviously had an interest. There was talk, and I talked to somebody who said that the Browns would have offered a first-round pick in early in September, but certainly weren't going to offer it now, because now you can look at it and say, well, your draft picks might be in the teens. You don't want to give that up for in this situation. So I think part of it was, you know, I know, like, the narrative was that they weren't taking any calls. My understanding was that they still had been taking calls, but they had a high price tag, and they weren't going to come down on it. So that ultimately, I think, is what it was, as much as anything. In the end, I don't think anybody's offering better than a second at the deadline. Just, I believe that was the best offer. And if that was the case, they weren't going to do it. But you look at the situation that happened yesterday, and part of me says, well, is it worth holding on to them till before the draft, or should you have just traded them now and avoid what now becomes another issue for this organization?
Well, if you crystal ball this, John, we're talking with John Keim, ESPN NFL Nation reporter for the Washington Redskins in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. Crystal ball this, I mean, his value will never be as high as it was at the beginning of the season or even at this trade deadline. If you look ahead to the offseason when you have the ability to trade a Trent Williams with, assuming 2 years left on his contract, what do you actually think the Redskins would get in return for that trade at that point?
That's a good question. I think it all depends, Dean, on what happens as far as the market goes. So, like, if there's, you know, it's like if you're selling your house, if you have a couple of people interested, the value is going to go up. And I think that's what they need. If you get a couple of teams interested, then that value might be there. And, you know, I've talked to various people throughout the league, and I think they don't feel like it's certainly going, it doesn't have to kill his value by any means. It also will depend on how deep is this tackle class in the draft. And then not only how deep is it, but if you're picking in the 20s and you say, you know what, we need a tackle this year badly, and you got this guy who's a rookie, he may not be ready for a couple of years, or you can take trade for Trent Williams. That's going to be part of the decision-making too for teams. You're going to go through free agency. You'll see what you can they can compare what they had to Trent Williams. They know what their draft standing is. Right now, some teams might be reluctant to give up certain picks for him because, you know, on the chance that what if you gave up a first-round pick for Trent Williams now and you end up picking 13, is that worth it? You know, I don't know. And so I think that in some ways, I think the people there that I've talked to have felt for a while that maybe you get better value in the offseason because of all those reasons. I think there's two other caveats here. One is the contract length. If he gets credit for a year played this year, he'll go into this offseason with 1 year left on his deal. Now, the feeling is that any team signed trading for him would probably give him an extension, so maybe that doesn't matter. Then the other factor is if he doesn't play, how concerned will teams be about his scalp situation and being it? Because right now he has discomfort with the helmet on. That may be just because he doesn't want to play. I don't know. But there's that. And then some teams say, you know, are you getting a malcontent if you trade for him now? Will that hurt the value? I can tell you, having covered him for a number of years, I don't view Trent Williams as a malcontent.
John Keim, our guest here in the sports bar covering the Washington Redskins for ESPN.com. John, this is a interim head coach right now. Who's coaching this team in 2020? I'm not expecting you to give me a name here per se, but what direction does Daniel Snyder go? Is he going to get the itch here to open up the checkbook and get the big name? Because you see these wild rumors about a Mike Tomlin perhaps trading for him, or maybe Harbaugh leaving Michigan, or do the Redskins perhaps dial it back here? What's your sense here and what direction Washington might go?
Yeah, I mean, usually it's the opposite of what they've done. So they had Jay Gruden, who was the kind of a, you know, wasn't the most disciplined, structured coach. So you're going to probably look for someone who's got offers more of that. As far as the names go, yes, I would expect them to pursue some big names because that's typically what's going to happen. I talked to one prominent agent for coaches and some players who felt like he called this job one for the desperate or the daring. And, you know, so I think you may get one from one of those categories. You might get a guy like a Todd Bowles who has ties to Doug Williams. Somebody who maybe they view this as a shot that they may not otherwise get. I wouldn't look for any of those big-name coaching hires from college. I'd have a hard time believing they would leave those situations for this unless you're just desperate to get back in the NFL. So I think, you know, you're looking at probably more – hoping to land a huge fish and then settling for a guy who's maybe second tier. And I mean, guys like Todd Bowles, I've heard good things about Todd Bowles from people who know him and have worked with him, but he's not going to move the needle necessarily for a fan base the way a big name guy would. Doesn't mean he's better or worse. It just means he won't move the needle initially for them. But what they need is, and the one thing Callahan, I think, has provided is the discipline and the structure throughout. And I think that is something that they definitely need, because in this place, this is a chaotic place, as people may have noticed. And if that's the situation, you better get a coach who can kind of calm that locker room, or have a buffer for the locker room, and do that by the culture that you provide from the coaching staff on down. So that way the stuff above you doesn't end up ruining it.
He is John Keim, ESPN.com, ESPN NFL Nation reporter for the Washington Redskins. John, you're gracious with your time. Before we let you go, I wanted to get one, an update on Adrian Peterson, his availability for Sunday, and two, just your overall prediction, what you think is going to happen at New Era Field between these two teams on Sunday.
Yeah, Adrian Peterson will play. He sat out the last couple of days, did practice today, has a sprained ankle, suffered it a couple weeks ago, played 4 days later in the Thursday game. So he'll be fine. He's been good for them. With Callahan, they want to run the ball. They need him on the field. Prediction for Sunday, this is kind of another easy one, and picking the Redskins, my record this year is pretty good. So Bills are just, they're a better team, and you have a rookie quarterback facing a really good defense on the road. I mean, this is a tough spot for Dwayne Haskins, and I think the key will be that. It's funny because, like, you look at the Bills' run defense numbers, and it's skewed because of the last game, that it's like, you know, if the Redskins can't run, they're in big trouble. So I would think that Haskins will have his struggles. I think the key for him is, how does he respond to struggles, and how does he handle the process? Because they need to build on that, I think, as much as whatever the results are in this game.
John, do you ever daydream what it's like to cover a winning team in Washington? Give us a sense of what it's like down there in D.C. Is anybody actually working this afternoon, or everybody just kind of getting ready for the parade tomorrow?
Yeah, it's the parade. This is the first year where, you know, I've covered this team a long time, and you're kind of used to being the dominant conversation in the fall, and now you're kind of like tapping the mic, hello, anybody here? You know, and like, I mean, I always tell people, like, you're the guest at parties that people used to like to talk to. Now they kind of pat you on the back and say, man, so sorry.
Yeah.
So, you know, that it's just the way it is. It's still a good living, but, yep, it would be fun to it'd be interesting to cover a team that wins not just once every 5 years either.
He's John Keim. He covers the Washington Redskins. Oh, isn't that adorable? Oh, that's sweet. Tell us about that. That must be. Yeah, John, it's great talking to you. Thank you so much for giving us some of your time. Enjoy your weekend. Don't be a stranger. Let's do it again soon.
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys.
You got it. John Keim. You can read his work at ESPN.com, covering the Washington Redskins, ESPN NFL Nation reporter.
So much to talk about for being a team that has one win.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah. You know, as bad as they are, there's no shortage of drama and intrigue around that team. And I think the reason why is because they are a proud franchise that, you know, we remember when the Redskins were really good and winning Super Bowls, and the heritage and the legacy of that franchise. And it hasn't been that for so long now, with the owner being who the owner is. And that's where it changed, right? When Snyder took over.
Yeah. Yeah. It all is Daniel Snyder. And he'll repeat himself because he will open up the checkbook. What was the phrase? It's a job for the desperate or the daring. Rex Ryan would be desperate.
Oh, God.
He's not daring. That would be desperate.
Now, his brother is there already. I mean, Rob is coming to town this weekend.
Now, Rex has his ESPN gig.
Your foot's in the door. You let Orion into the door. I mean, his foot's in the door. You don't think Rob is going to put in a good word for Big Brother? You know, Rex could be that guy. He would certainly provide plenty of good sound bites. Poor Wash. It is. It's sad. I feel bad for John. Like, oh, yeah, at parties, people used to want to talk to me, and now it's like, oh, that's what you do.
All right, so Dove Kleiman is, he's an independent reporter who's got the blue check mark, and he is reporting.
Let me guess.
No, that the Bills did not put a claim in on Josh.
Yeah, Bush. I know. There's. By the way, while we're talking to John Keim, the process of elimination has started on Twitter. Teams not claiming him to try and figure out which team might have actually claimed him. Can I make my prediction?
I'll make mine after yours.
Ravens.
I think it's Miami.
Ooh.
I haven't seen Miami come up.
Now, the waiver wire works worst to first, right? So if you're
correct,
so if you're the Dolphins, you would have the first crack at him. But if you had the first crack at him, All right, we have to look here, do a little process of elimination. I'd say we should do NFL appetizers next, but honestly, so much has changed and so much we've learned so much just in the last couple of hours in terms of who's starting at quarterback for the Redskins, where Josh Gordon may be heading. So we'll get to some NFL news and notes next in the Sports Bar apps brought to you exclusively by Alex's Place, making mouth-watering barbecue baby back ribs for over 25 years. Online at alexsribs.com. We also have our best bets. And an in-studio visit by our buddy, Master Stroke, will be joining us with his Week 9 picks.
You say he's got something special in the works for this week. Yeah. You know, I honestly don't know who he's picking this week.
He's got a good one in there. We'll get to that more next. In the Sports Bar, Danger and Battaglia, ESPN Rochester.
Push your bandwidth to the limit with ESPNRochester.com. Stream the sports leader on your computer. Read the latest rumblings from the Bills and rumors from the Sabres. Breaking news, expert analysis and opinion, we've got you covered. Plus on-demand audio and all of the best moments from the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. Bookmark ESPNRochester.com. The online home of AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The Sports Leader. ESPN Rochester.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.